We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's going on, Pacer Nation? The Pacers just lost a very tough game to the Sacramento Kings, 127-122. Not the results we expected heading into this game. And I'm joined today by AJ Reese and Naptown Hoops. Aaron, AJ, how you guys doing today, AJ?
I'm all right. Just enjoying this late night. I'm used to this because got a really messed up sleep schedule at the moment. But would be doing a lot better if the Pacers start off the road trip with the win.
Yeah, Aaron, you say you're a night owl most times. So how are you doing tonight?
I feel completely normal, but I wish the Pacers would have won. That was like a heart crusher right there.
Yeah, so let's talk about this game. I mean, I don't want to spend forever talking about it, but I do think it's good to recap this game because the Pacers, you know, I think Denari and Buckner made a great point at the end of the game. Like, any game the Pacers have lost this season, they've been in the game at the end of it. So it's not like the Pacers got blown out. Sacramento was just hot from three. The Pacers' defense was bad. This is a game that we all kind of thought the Pacers really needed to win to start this road trip off because they got some tough games ahead of them. But AJ, I'm going to start with you. What were two of your big takeaways from this loss?
I mean, one thing is the guys looked really tired out there. Like, I liked how some of the kids got more minutes, like seeing Edmund Sumner in there for 11 minutes. Aaron Holiday only got 14, but like, seeing Edmund in there, getting some minutes, and Jakar, like, getting some energy out there. I like that because, obviously, having Sabonis and Brogdon playing 38 to 40 minutes every night is not good, which happened again tonight. Brogdon had 38 and Sabonis had 40, so that's a lot. So that's my first takeaway. My second one would be we really need a three to play while TJ is out, like, because we don't have anybody with good size that can guard those threes and fours. Like, we have the two good centers that can share that four and five, but the threes that are good that can attack offensively, like Harrison Barnes, just can feed on Justin Holiday or Vic or whoever ends up on them.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because Harrison Barnes had 30 points tonight. He shot 10 of 14 from the field, so he was on fire. He played 38 minutes as well, and so did De'Aaron Fox. So, but yeah, I really think that with playing Justin Holiday, the Pacers did make a change to their starting lineup tonight, which was something we weren't sure if we were going to see after Aaron had struggled early on in the season, taking over for TJ once he went down. Finally replaced him with Justin, and Justin, while he is a really good defender, holds his position well down in the post. I tweeted this out. He's 181 pounds. Harrison Barnes is 250 pounds. That's a 69-pound difference. So when you got that much muscle on you and that much extra body fat on you, you know, that's just – it's you can't do too much if you're Justin. You can try, but if you get pushed around on the low block, going up against a guy that's almost 70 pounds heavier than you, what do you expect? So – Aaron, are there any other thoughts for you on this loss, some takeaways that you saw from this game?
Yeah, there's something that I saw you tweet about too with Victor Oladipo that he needs to not settle for three so much and actually drive to the hoop, because he shot 18% from three. He was just chucking them up there. But when he actually went to the hoop, he was bringing us back to the game. I was going to use AJ's second point about the wing, but I was also going to say we wasted another great Sabonis game. Like Quinn and Chris talked about at the end, Sabonis went off again and we still lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, in your point about Victor shooting, it's been pretty bad. I was looking at the three-point shot of the last three games, and 5 of 25 from three for Victor. So that's terrible shooting, and it's just not – he's not a good shooter. It's one thing to – I mean, he can hit him occasionally. He's very streaky. I think he's better under pressure when the game's on the line. Like, I trust him more then, but some of these shots he's putting up, like, some are open, some are a little forced, and I just like when Victor's getting to the free throw line, which he really hasn't been doing a great job of the last couple of games, but I like when he's getting to the basket, and when he runs that pick and roll with Domas, you know, it's really hard for teams to guard because Victor has such a great little first step, and then that, you know, that wraparound pass that he gets to Domas, a lot of times it really works well. And that's just something the Pacers really have to work on. And honestly, I just feel like defensively we really struggled. And AJ, I mean, were you surprised at all that Miles Turner was not in the game towards the end of the closing minutes?
Oh, absolutely. I brought it up on Twitter a couple times, just saying, how is Miles not out there? And it's kind of crazy. I saw an interaction with Tony East and Alex Riley talking about it, and they said, why would he not be like subbed in during that review of the goaltend? But Tony made it a point to say that you can't sub during reviews, and after that there wasn't really a great opportunity unless they called a timeout. But yeah, I did not like the fact that Miles wasn't in there, especially for that De'Aaron Fox dunk. Like, that just made no sense to me. Like, they had Doug in there like for offense, but they didn't utilize him in the offense at all towards like down the and you could clearly tell Miles was upset. Like, I noticed it first in the Twitter video of De'Aaron Fox dunking. So I see Miles sitting on the bench with his hand is like in his hand, his head in his hand. And clearly he was upset that he wasn't out there, because he could feel like there's like, if anyone's going to stop De'Aaron Fox from driving in like that, it's going to be Miles.
Yeah. And I mean, the play before that was a broken play. Buddy Hield gets the ball at the three-point line and hits that baseline three-point shot to go up four. And it was just like, it just felt like every single time the Pacers would get close, the Kings would just get a lucky break. I mean, you can go back to the beginning of the fourth quarter when Rashawn Holmes drills a three like 5 feet behind the three-point line with 0.7 left on the shot clock, and he just drills it from three. I mean, it just was one of those games. It felt like the Kings were, you know, throwing the ball into the ocean and the Pacers were struggling. So, Aaron, Rashawn Holmes, this guy, it was a game-time decision, and my goodness, he had a monster of a game tonight.
Yeah, that three-pointer that he made just sums it up. I think I saw that he hasn't made a three in, like, the past 2 years or something.
It's four, the last 4 years is what I think Chris Denary said.
Even better. And then that goaltending slash block, that was – everything went downhill after that, which I don't understand how they couldn't – I know the rules changed, which is really upsetting, because they couldn't review the goaltending in the playoffs, and then they do this in a meaningless – well, not meaningless. This could set up for a bad road trip after this, but that really just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, and so let's talk about that real quick before, you know, before we get into the next game. I want to just talk about this game in general and how we lost it. But going forward, there's still four games left on this road trip. Not sure if Victor will play tomorrow night because it is a – second half of a back-to-back, but at the same time, you know, no McConnell, no TJ Warren, no Jeremy Lamb right now. If you have no Victor, like, you're getting really thin here, and you're going to probably have to play Cassius Stanley, Edmund Sumner, heavier minutes, which, you know, it's a good opportunity for him, but not what you really want going up against a juggernaut in Golden State. So with four games left, I mean, there's going to be four tough games. I mean, personally, I said 2-3 would be a successful road trip, and I understand that this loss does kind of set the Pacers back a little bit, but I still think they can get two wins out of the next four games. Aaron, do you still think the Pacers can get two out of the next four wins?
Yeah, if we actually play the Pacers basketball we started with the season, actually playing defense, getting steals, going in transition, and making our threes, because We've been chucking up threes and couldn't hit the ocean if we tried. But if we start hitting shots, playing some better defense, I think we could win.
Yeah, AJ, I mean, the one thing I've noticed is Portland is playing Sacramento on the road Wednesday night, and the Pacers have them on Thursday. So that could be a game where they get a little bit of a tired Portland team, and then maybe a revenge game against Phoenix on that Friday or Saturday. I think it's Saturday. And then of course, and then tomorrow we got Golden State. And Golden State, if Steph has a bad shooting night, you know, who knows who's going to step up for them. I mean, it could be an opportunity for the Pacers to win that game. So do you think the Pacers have a chance to go 2-2 for the rest of the road trip?
I mean, in the NBA, any team has a chance to go 2-2, quite honestly. But I see 1-3, personally. I'm going to be the pessimist here. Just because if you look at it, they have the Warriors tomorrow, second night of a back-to-back, and they play at 10:30 p.m. So a later game than this one.
It's all right.
So that's going to be a tough one. And Steph Curry's coming off the worst shooting game he's had in forever. So he's not going to be happy. Hopefully he comes out and has a bad shooting game again, but we all know how that goes. And then Trailblazers just hit CJ McCollum just hit a big game winner over Pascal Siakam, or not over him, but I don't know if it was, but against the Raptors. And then Suns have been playing great. And then Clippers obviously have been playing well too. Like, that's a hard 4-game schedule. And the Kings was the one that you circle and you go, all right, this is the win. The rest will be hit or miss. And the fact that, like, the earliest game over the next 4 games is at 9 p.m. That's just tough for a team that's traveling so much over the next couple nights. And that's not good for the Pacers. And quite honestly, like, with how many minutes players, like, the starters have been playing, I think they're going to be so worn down and they're going to be so ready to go home. Like, I just don't see them playing super well over the next week, but I really hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to be pessimistic, but at the same time, I think that when you look at this Pacers team over the course of multiple years, it feels to me like they always lose the games that you expect them to win, and then they pull out that one game you don't expect them to win. You know what I mean? And especially on road trips, it's like you look at it and you're kind of like thinking in your mind, like, there's no crowd right now, so it's a little bit different, but you're looking at the schedule like, oh, we don't really play well there. Probably going to lose that. Definitely going to win against this team because they're not very good. And then it's like ends up those two get swapped somehow. And it just feels like that happens sometimes with the Pacers where they win games you don't really anticipate them winning. So honestly, like, I'm not too concerned about it. Like, it's still early on in the season. We're just 10 games in. We're 6-4. Sacramento's been playing absolutely garbage recently. And they've been giving up, I think it was like an average of 24 points. Was their deficit in the last 3 games they lost. So I don't think that they're that bad of a team. I just think they're a very streaky team, and tonight they were hot and the Pacers had no answer for them. And that's got a lot to do with the Pacers defense. The Pacers defense has been absolutely atrocious the last couple of games. So they got to work on some things. And, you know, I want to go back to your point that you brought up earlier, Aaron. You said another great Domas game and another Pacers loss. You know, I just want to be the first one to say this. I think we're going to get these kind of Domas games for the rest of the season with how much he's playing, how much he's used, and how many centers there are in the NBA that aren't very good, and I think he can really feast. So to me personally, it's like it's got to be the other guys. And this is a guy in Doug McDermott who was 8-10 but hardly saw the ball towards the end of the fourth quarter. Would have liked to have seen them run some more Doug and Domas action, because that two-man game is – super, super good. And if you got a guy as hot as Doug out there on the floor only missing 2 shots, I feel like you got to give him the ball a little bit more. What do you think about that, Aaron?
Yeah, Doug was going off. He had most of his points in, wasn't it like the second or third quarter? And then they just stopped feeding him towards the end of the game when nobody on the team could score. So I think it's just some rookie coaching mistakes by Nate. You got to feed the hot hand and try to salvage a very, very rough win.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Brogdon didn't play bad. He was 9 of 18, shot 50% from the field, 40% from three. So that's where you'd like him to be at. It's just, you know, the contributions on the defensive end is where the Pacers struggled. It wasn't offensively. It was all in the defensive end. And if you look at the team stats and you start looking at points off turnovers, the Pacers had 6 less turnovers than the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento had 19 turnovers But the Pacers only scored 13 points off those turnovers. On the other hand, on the 13 turnovers the Pacers had, Sacramento scored 26 points on those turnovers. So, AJ, like, if the Kings, I mean, if you look at the numbers, besides the field goal percentage, it was all relatively close on the attempts and the makes, but it just felt like in the turnover battle, they had the upper hand there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at all the stats realistically, like Pacers were neck and neck with them in a lot and even won some of like the more crucial ones. Like they had more offensive rebounds by a couple. They didn't have as many total rebounds, three less assists. They had eight more steals, which was crazy, but they still had 12 turnovers, which isn't good. But like the key stats that really stuck out to me was those like points after turnovers. But when you have De'Aaron Fox, you can just sprint faster than anybody in the league. It's kind of hard to stop some of those after the steals. Another thing that stuck out to me with that is like Pacers had more fouls, but they also shot better from free throw line, and they shot made two less threes. Like the whole night I was thinking like, man, Kings can't miss, but they only made 15 threes. The Pacers made 13. It's just the fact that the Pacers shot 39 and they only shot 32. Like the point, like it was 33% compared to 47. So, right. I mean, that really stuck out to me more than the points off turnover, just because it felt like the Kings couldn't miss and it felt like the Pacers just couldn't guard.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a great point, because to me personally, it just felt like the Kings weren't hitting a ton of threes. It just felt like the ones they hit were so big. And I don't know how many times flat-footed Tyrese Halliburton would pump fake and we would fly right by him. It was absolutely driving me crazy. That was one thing that I really noted. I didn't tweet about it, but it was like, here's a flat-footed rookie that's pump faking, and our guys are flying by him all the time. And then he would, you know, take one step over and knock a couple of them down. So I was just like, oh, this is killing me. But, yeah, it's just this Kings team is not that good to me. It's not a good loss for the Pacers, but at the same time, they lost by five. Maybe you can say it was eight before Brogdon threw that last three in there, but still it was a game that was really competitive. So you got to move on from this one. You can't dwell on it. And thankfully there is a game tonight against the Golden State Warriors at 10:30 on NBA TV. And you mentioned it, Steph coming off one of his worst shooting performances of the season. So hopefully he does not come out guns a-blazing against the Pacers, but Aaron, in this game, if Victor does play or doesn't play, I guess that's a big question, but what are some other questions you have for this game coming up against the Warriors?
Well, of course, Steph is obviously a scary one to come up against after his worst shooting performance, but I feel like Kelly Oubre is set up for like a perfect game tomorrow. The Pacers just get destroyed by the most random people at the most inopportune times. But also something that people haven't noticed, I don't think, is that Andrew Wiggins has been one of the best defenders in the league this year. So that's kind of scary, especially if Vic's not playing, one of our best scorers, slashers. I'm kind of worried tomorrow, but I think we can pull it out, or today, technically.
Yeah, well, it is today. It's 1 o'clock in the morning as we're recording this. And so just breaking here from Scott Agnes, Nate Bjorkgren says that he wishes he had got Miles Turner back into the game sooner. He tried with 120 left after Sabonis' basket was waved off, but you can't sub then. Probably should have had him earlier, 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game. So, you know, AJ or Aaron, I can't remember which one of you said it, but you said rookie coaching mistakes. I think that right there, you know, at least he's owning it, and maybe we can see if him owning it will lead to a different result as the team continues to grow early on. But, I mean, 6-4, it's not bad. It's a decent start to the year, and I'm glad that they're on the winning side of the record, win-loss wise. And so now AJ, for you against Golden State, Andrew Wiggins has been playing good defense, but Kelly Oubre, another guy they picked up, they drafted James Wiseman and Draymond Green's back. So what are some things you're looking forward to in this game against the Warriors?
Quite honestly, like I'm not as excited to watch the Warriors as I have been in the past. Like, just not having Klay Thompson there is such a big, like, buffer for them. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, they're still what? They're trying to check their record at the moment.
They're 6-4, like us, yeah.
6-4, okay, yeah. So, I mean, they're still right along there at getting wins. Just after that slow start they had, they got slandered so much on the internet. Like, they're just not as fun as they used to be. And so much of NBA Twitter is little kids who bandwagoned over to be Curry and Klay Thompson fans. But it will be interesting to see how Kelly Oubre shoots, just how he couldn't make a basket, like, the whole first portion of the season, like the first week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing how he plays will be interesting. Seeing if Vic plays will also be a big takeaway, obviously. Oh, and one thing I'd like to point out is Aaron did say the thing about rookie coaching mistakes, but I will gladly take gladly claim that because he's not wrong. I'm always excited to watch the Pacers, but man, 10:30 game on a second night of a back-to-back is going to be tough.
It will be tough. And I feel like this is a game that we might win. I just, in the back of my mind, I keep thinking, even if there's no Vic, these guys, you know, they might come out and play with a chip on their shoulder. It's going to be a tough game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Warriors have won 4 of their last 5 games, and Draymond Green to me is just somebody that doesn't get enough talk. Doesn't get talked about enough. Like, we talked about him a lot during the 2016 NBA Finals when he got suspended. We talked about him a lot when he was Defensive Player of the Year, but he's gotten himself into shape, and he doesn't have to necessarily score a ton of points to be super impactful. And, you know, you said you kind of miss seeing Klay out there on the court. As a basketball fan throughout the regular season, I do, but going up against the Pacers, Klay has given me many a nightmare. So I'll gladly be okay watching just the Pacers trying to contain Steph, because I'll live with Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre, you know, taking shots to try to beat us. I mean, they're not bad basketball players, but I'll live with them trying to beat the Pacers over a guy like Steph Curry. So, Aaron, as we kind of wrap this podcast up, are there any thoughts that you have overall on this Pacers team that you'd like to share?
I just think even if we lose, people need to stop overreacting, because we have a new coach and you're supposed to have those growing pains. They didn't come right away, and now they're starting to show. It should be expected. I don't think everyone should be freaking out if we keep losing.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Aaron. We're Pacers fans. We got to overreact.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, AJ, same question for you. Any thoughts?
My one thing is Emma Sumner has to get more minutes. That's my piece. I mean, he's a good basketball player. I think he needs to find his way in the rotation. Aaron's playing like garbage, quite honestly. And I love Ed, like, big hype train fan. One thing I asked Tony East about is if Vic sits out tomorrow, who takes that third, like, that starting spot if Justin Hall is back in? And he said there's a chance that it could be Sumner or Cassius Stanley, just because they fit that, like, position. Mm-hmm. But that was right before Justin was announced that he would be starting, so there's probably a good chance it could be both the Holiday brothers, which might end up working because they play a lot better with each other on the floor. I mean, Justin, it doesn't really impact, but Aaron plays a lot better with Justin on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's who they'd probably go with as well. If there's no Vic, it'd be Brogdon, the Holiday brothers, and then Turbonus. And then off the bench, you're going to have Sumner with Dougie McBuckets, and then probably some Jakar sprinkled in. You might get some Cassius Stanley, maybe some Keelan Martin. I mean, you never know. He didn't play well in the limited time that he got earlier on in the season. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know. But I thought Cassius Stanley played pretty well in that two-minute stretch there against the Phoenix Suns on Saturday night. So maybe, you know, this is an opportunity for you to give your young rookie some extra minutes. And just that athleticism is beneficial.
Another factor would be is if TJ McConnell comes back. Like,
oh, I would be shocked if he'd be back.
Yeah, say he's probably not getting much sleep right now anyways with the newborn, but
yeah, no, still. There's no doubt about that. I think it'll be probably Thursday at the earliest before we see TJ. I just, with everything that's mm-hmm. going down right now with the COVID outbreak in the NBA and games being postponed, who knows how protocols might change by then and now. So kind of just have to monitor that, but it's going to be difficult because this team really needs that steady hand in the backcourt, and especially off the bench, and really just the energy that he brings. Like, I think Sumner brings it,
exactly.
And Sumner does bring it, but it's a different level than what McConnell does, because like McConnell will pressure inbounds passes and play you full court. I didn't really see a whole lot of that tonight. And his ability to see the floor is just probably so much better than any of the young guards that we have. And he's just so steady and consistent with it. I mean, you look at McConnell and you say, the guy can't shoot threes and he's really small. So there's reasons to be concerned.
Sounds about, like Aaron.
Yes. But, you know, but Aaron, he's got athleticism. He's got longer arms. He's got like a 6'7" wingspan for only being 6'2" or whatever he's listed at. And McConnell is just like, no, he's like 6'1", 6'2". And that's his wingspan. You know, he's not like some massively like athletic, you know, super freak guy, but he's steady. He's energetic and he's a coach's son. You could just see it in him. And the struggles from Aaron Holiday, I don't know what's going to get him to change, but he's got to figure it out. But overall, I mean, I don't really know what to expect tomorrow, but I think it'll be a competitive game, whether Vic plays or not. And you just got to keep Steph Curry from going off for 62 points.
And yeah. I don't know. Supposed to be a dig at both Aarons, actually. So Aaron Holiday and Aaron on the pod, because I just want to make a joke at him. But also Aaron Holiday can't buy a basket at the moment. So it works both ways.
Well, Aaron on the pod, how is your basketball game?
I think I shoot better than Aaron Holiday right now. If you put my friend right in front of me, I'd shoot right over him and I'd score 60 for the Pacers right now.
I say that any Indiana boy can pop, like, shoot a three from anywhere. Might not make it, but they'll shoot it confidently. Exactly.
No doubt about that. So, of course, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. And, you know, it's a late night, so it's good to talk about this game. But at the same time, I think all of us are ready to put this game behind us, get some sleep, and look forward to watching the Pacers all over again tonight against the Warriors. And then we can get a little bit of a break on Wednesday, come back and watch that game Thursday against the Blazers and the two-headed sword back there with McCollum and Lillard. So, Aaron, where can people find you at on Twitter? And do you have anything coming out for 8 points, 9 seconds, or what's going on with your podcast?
You can find me at Naptown Hoops on Twitter. I have technically two podcasts, the Naptown Hoops podcast with AJ, and then I do Not Bad Analysis, so it's like NBA with my friend. It's not as serious. The podcasting is going to step up when I go back to school, which is in like, 20 days. So you can check out the Naptown Hoops podcast, Not Bad Analysis podcast, and I need to get working more on 8.9 seconds, but you can find me there too.
All right, AJ, where can people find you at? What's going on in your world over there for the Pacers?
Well, you can find me at AJ Reese NBA on Twitter and then AJ Reese 13 on every other social media. I don't do any writing because I've never been a big writing fan, been more of a math guy, and I've never really tried, quite honestly, with writing about sports. Currently searching for some sort of internship or job at the moment. So if I can find one, or anybody's out there and likes my sports stuff, let me know, because I need some money because I'm in college and I'm broke.
I understand the struggles. So hopefully the stimulus got you a little bit through the day, but.
Well, my problem is I live at home because I'm only 18. I'm commuting to IUPUI. So like I'm still as a dependent. So
you didn't get that stimulus.
Sadly. Yeah,
that's right. You know, when you're 28, you kind of forget what it's like to be under your parents, and when they claim you on their taxes. Got that whole thing going for you. But anyway, Pacer fans, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Setting the Pace. You can find us on Twitter at Setting the Pace 3, over on Instagram at Pacers Talk, and I'm at Alex Golden NBA, and I'll be back on Wednesday afternoon with Mike Facci to recap the Warriors game and look forward to the Portland Trailblazers game. We will talk to y'all then.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.